Part two. We have explained how the notion of hove, the present tense, is very similar to the concept of memory, how memory brings all events, past and even those imagined events in the future, into the hove, into the present. And the present is synonymous, we in Hashem's world, because we have no present, with eternal and changeless. Netzach. Netzach really doesn't mean forever. The accurate understanding of Netzach means changeless, lasting, permanent. So our HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists entirely in the Hove dimension, which means there is no past, there is no future, everything is constant, everything that ever happened, everything that ever will happen, is present and alive and existing right now before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, Hashem, in a sense, is always in a state of what we would say, remembering or knowing. Nothing is ever relegated to another dimension. Hashem is all Hove. Now, we've said in part one that if a person lived a full life, experienced an enormous array of things, and yet has no ability to know those things, has amnesia, can't remember those things, can't conjure them up in the present, so for that person, they never existed. Their own self-awareness is dead, and they don't know anything about their life. So let's extend this concept. Is it possible for somebody to live a full life in this world, and there is no awareness of that person before Hashem? In a sense, Hashem doesn't have a memory of that person. That person doesn't exist in the Hova, in the present tense, in the changeless, timeless world of Olam HaEmes. A person only lives here, and in the Olam HaEmes, they can't be said to exist. How does that work? Well, we know, of course, it's as you've heard this a billion times, the neshama and the guf are a partnership. And there's two worlds, this world and the other world. The other world, although it's called Olam Haba, isn't really in the future. It's a parallel world, which many people we know of are at this moment there. It's a world we can't see, but it exists at this moment, concurrent with this world. When a person acts here in this world, if their actions are l'shem shamayim, if their mitzvahs are done for simply just because they're the demand of Hashem, if they live with an awareness that their life here is in preparation for the next world, and that their behavior here has effects in the next world, then as that person walks and talks and acts right here in this world, their spiritual behavior, the spiritual counterpart to their physical actions exists and exists forever in the Hove, in a changeless way. That mitzvah lives forever. That kavana lives forever. That tefillah lives forever. In other words, it's almost like with every action we do here, we are creating an invisible but a parallel personality. There's an Esther, for example, in the physical world, and hopefully there's an Esther made up of my thoughts, non-material, non-tangible, nothing that can be perceived in the with the five senses, but existing in full color, so to speak, in a non-physical world. Now, we know neshamas can recognize each other, but there's no physical body, there's no physical qualities. So how do neshamas know each other? They know each other because the mitzvos of a person, the kavanas of a person, the thoughts of a person, the whole personality exists minus the body. And that person, in a non-physical sense, is as identifiable, recognizable as a person is here, you know, based on their physical features and qualities. So every person is building a parallel person, a parallel form of themselves, in the spiritual. And that parallel person exists forever, hove, without, you know, in the next world. But what if a person goes through life in this world and never ever builds a counterpart to themselves? Everything they do is relegated entirely to this world, is about this world, satisfies the needs of this world, and is nothing beyond this world. That person doesn't have their other half. That person doesn't exist in a non-physical, in a spiritual sense. a person doesn't exist in other than right here in this world, which is the Olam HaSheker. And when that person finishes living, they move, their body erodes in the ground, and there is nothing in Hashem's awareness of that person. Now, Hashem knows, of course, that that person physically lived, but in the Olam HaEmes, in the world of truth, in the world of Hova, of present tense, in the non-physical world, there is no remnant of that person because they never created any persona that can exist. Any, there was no non-physical part of them, non-material part of them. So we would say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, knowing everything, and everything is Hova, and everything is in Hashem's awareness, but that person can't conjure up his own spiritual existence because there is none, has no story to tell about who they are, and can be said that Hashem's awareness also no longer exists. So here's an example of this, a clear-cut example of this. We read the Kriya of the second day of Rosh Hashanah, and it's about the Akedah, and that makes a lot of sense. If you think about it, the first day of Rosh Hashanah, Hashem remembers Sarah, Hashem pakad es Sarah, and that word pakad, by the way, is a tricky word. Zachar is really remember, right? Pakad means he gave her a pikadon, he loaned her something. That was what we read about on the first day. On the second day, we read about Akedas Yitzchak, simply Hashem asking for the loan back. But after we finish the story of Akedas Yitzchak, there's an extra paragraph that, although we find it in the Chumash, really doesn't seem to play any role here in the Rosh Hashanah davening. And the question is, why is this included? And that's the paragraph that goes like this. Vayihi acharei hadvarim ha'ele, v'yugad l'avram lemar hine yolda milka gam hi banim l'nachar achicha. Basically, his brother's children. And the Torah then goes through a list of people that we never heard about, that we know almost nothing about, and honestly, we don't know why they're relevant and what this has to do with Rosh Hashanah. It's Otz, the Bechor, and Boz, his brother, and Kamuel, the father of Aram, and Kesed, and Chazo, and Pildash, and Yidlaf. Who are these people? And why do we care? And then, though, we get to a familiar name, Besuel. Now, we know him. We know Besuel. Here's the next pasuk in the list of genealogy. At least we're in familiar ground. And the pasuk says, Ubesuel yoladis Rivka shmona ela yolda Milka l'Nachar. These were the eight that Milka gave birth to for Nachar, the brother of Avram. My grandfather of Schwab says, wait a second. This is an example of exactly what we're speaking about. On Rosh Hashanah, Hashem is, so to speak, writing us into the Sefer HaChaim, which means, do we exist in the Olam HaEmes, in the non-physical world of Hoveh, the world of truth, the world of everything that truly exists and exists forever, the spiritual world? Do we exist there? Are we in the Sefer HaChaim? Or, God forbid, are we not? Well, imagine this is a little bit of a Sefer HaChaim. It's a listing all the people that lived. From Hashem's perspective, these are Hashem's words. He's listing the people that lived at, the important people that lived at that time. Now, let's say you could get a glimpse at the book Hashem is writing about your time and your family, and you start looking through it, and you're curious to see who in Hashem's mind lived at that time. Well, let's say the one person that's missing from this list got a chance to take a glimpse at the book that Hashem wrote and who he called alive. There is somebody missing from this list. What if he was able to look at this before he died? What would he think? Listen again. Besuel. Besuel yalad es Rivka. Who's missing? Besuel had another child named Lavan. But in the book that Hashem wrote about who was important and who left an impact and who actually lived and who is alive in God's mind, Lavan's name is not there. In other words, he could have lived a full life. He could have experienced everything a human being would enjoy experiencing. But in the book that God wrote, in the Sefer HaChaim, in God's awareness, so to speak, Lavan doesn't exist at all. There's no memory of him in Hashem's mind, which means he doesn't exist in the Hoveh. He doesn't exist in the Olam Ha'emes. There's no spiritual counterpart to the Lavan that lived here. So when that Lavan died, it's like the animal died, and there's no future. So when we speak about Hashem remembering us, it's really a plea. It's a plea, and it's meant to help us imagine what we're supposed to be doing here in Rosh Hashanah. We know that there are, hopefully, many incidents and events in the course of the past year that live beyond us. They're ruchnius behaviors and ruchnius achievements, and they exist, and they exist forever, and they exist in non-material form, and they're us. At the same time, there's a lot that we did and said and thought and acted and that has no future at all. It's totally delinked from anything ruchnius, and therefore it has no future. Now, hopefully, that's not the majority of who we are, because then the persona we have in the next world is very limited and very lopsided and maybe missing parts, God forbid, and crippled. We don't want to think about it. We ask Hashem, Zachreinu l'chaim, or Zachreinu l'tova, remember us for good. Remember us. In other words, everything we've done, even whatever you can dig up that we've done that has some ruchnius part to it, it should exist forever. It does exist forever. And that should be who we are. And everything else should not be held against us. And everything else should not be taken into account. And you should look at us with rachmanis and take even a ill-formed, God forbid, version of us and see it with rachmanis and increase it, maybe with the zchuyos of our parents and maybe good things that came about even though we didn't intend them to be, but it just happened because of us somehow, and zchuyos of everybody else and maybe even our good intentions to be better. Lump that all together and create for us a full, vibrant personality, so to speak, in the Olam Ha'emes that can exist in your awareness. The worst thing of all is that Hashem has no, so to speak, memory or knowledge or awareness of us. That means that we've only lived in one dimension and nothing continues beyond. And God forbid we don't think that's true, not of any decent Jew and not of any decent human being. This is Yom HaDin for everybody. But we're trying to stack the proportions on the side of existence, true existence, and gather in every little zechus we could have ever had and muster up all our strength to make determination to do better. And put that all together, and maybe we'll have some type of decent story to tell, or rather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have some decent story to tell of who we are. And this is one little tip of the iceberg of the idea of Zikaron. And hopefully, if we remember this, and remember that Hashem promises to look at us with rachamim on this day, we will feel a little bit hopeful and inspired to try more to balance out our personality. And we know that as long as a person, Rambam tells us, has more zechuyos, they're a tzaddik. It doesn't mean that a person has no averos. It just means they have more zechuyos. They're more a good person. And that's already a tzaddik. And all we really need is to make sure that we know that despite all our shortcomings and our weaknesses and our how often we are distracted and foolish, childish, and all the other causes for our backsliding and our weakness, that mostly we are trying to be a tzaddik. That's who we really are or try in most of our time, and mostly we have an existence more in the next world than just our temporary existence here. This should be we should have a very, very meaningful Rosh Hashanah. And Ksiva Chasima Tova to everybody.